Welcome to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. Today on your show, Hidden Gems and Human Potential Ideas. Hi, I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at CareerCycles.com. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. Thanks for tuning in to this first show of 2013. Student Awesome studied computer science and political science at the University of Toronto. Born in Toronto, he is Pakistani-Canadian. His work emphasizes ideas, practical, societal, and human potential ideas to help people live as global citizens. Khadija Goes to School is his first book, and The Champions of Life is his first international idea. Student Awesome joins us later in today's show. Plus, we'll continue our feature Career Buzz conversations with Melissa Rodway. Today's focus, how to advance your career in 2013. But first, today on Career Buzz, we start a series on careers that are hidden gems. These are occupations that many people would really love, but they're just somewhat less well known. And today's hidden gem is epidemiology. Carrie Iron is a public health epidemiologist. She uses huge amounts of data to evaluate the effectiveness of medical care in Ontario and the health of people in Ontario. She works at the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences. Carrie is also a volunteer board member at Humewood House, a mother of two boys, and partner extraordinaire to yours truly. Carrie Iron joins me live by phone. Welcome, Carrie, to Career Buzz.
Thank you, Mark.
So what do you like or what do you enjoy most about your career?
Well, I have the opportunity to work with a wide variety of people from a whole bunch of disciplines: physicians, nurses, data analysts, project managers, policymakers, and healthcare planners, and we all work towards improving the health and health system. The second thing I like about my work and my career is that I'm a curious person, so daily I get to work with many people to solve problems, whether they're sort of research analytic problems or how to develop a data collection tool or problems around how to collaborate with a wide variety of stakeholders. The third thing I like is that I've created a flexible work environment for myself, and that makes my work and life balance much, much better.
Well, anybody listening to this would say, wow, that sounds like a really interesting career and lots of great things that you like about it. Now, you do work as an epidemiologist. What do you do?
Well, epidemiology really is the study of diseases in populations over place and time, but it's also a discipline that helps to improve health. So there are different kinds of epidemiology. There's public health epidemiology, which is the surveillance of disease. So some of your listeners may know about SARS. So public health epidemiologists track diseases over time and place. Clinical epidemiologists look at the effectiveness of new surgical procedures or initiatives, like whether diabetes education programs work or not. And I am a health services researcher, so what I do every day is examine how health services are used, and we provide evidence for health policy and health planning.
Right. So there's three kinds, really, of epidemiologists. Now, you've said that you're the health services research type of epidemiologist. What strengths and skills do you draw on a regular basis to be successful in your career?
Well, I look at huge amounts of data, so we collect lots and lots of information and data, and the strengths that I use are some of the skills that I've used at school, so that when I went to U of T, I did my master's in community health and epidemiology. So the strengths that I developed there were around data management, data analysis, and then the extension of that to examine how the health system is used and how numbers can help to tell a story to answer questions about about the health system and to solve problems that policymakers or health planners may have around the use of health services in Ontario.
So it sounds like in the data analysis and data management, there's also then pulling it all together, synthesizing it. It sounds like there's going to be some writing and written reports and also some kind of communication or persuasion to persuade policymakers to make changes based on what you're finding. Is that true?
Exactly. So it's about finding a question when there are sort of a whole bunch of questions and issues that are kind of percolating. So pulling out one particular question that can be answered and that can be used to solve a particular issue. So it's honing in on a question, synthesizing a whole bunch of data that already exists, analyzing that information, creating, using the numbers to create graphs or tables, and then telling a story and writing the story that describes what's going on, and then posing some solutions that can be gleaned and usable and actionable from the story that's being told.
Can you give one example just to give listeners a feel for that? Like, you've just walked us through the process. What are one of those, you know, questions, interesting questions that somebody in your organization might be looking at?
Mm-hmm. One question would be how are mammography services being used? So mammography is a diagnostic test used to diagnose breast cancer, but it's also used as a screening tool for healthy women. So the Ministry of Health or Cancer Care Ontario or some organizing body in Ontario may want to know how those services are being used. So we would take a whole bunch of information that's already being collected for administrative purposes and pull out all the women who have used those services in Ontario who are eligible for those services, so women aged 40 and up, and then we would map across Ontario how those services are being used. And we may find that, say, in the northern part of the province, some women are not receiving services the way they should. It may be that in parts of Toronto or Southern Ontario, there are gaps in services. So using all of that information and posing that particular question, we would be able to show and say map where the gaps are and where services could be more intensely provided for women.
It's an interesting example because something like mammography is something that's widespread. I mean, a change in policy, and I recall there was a change in policy recently, and that kind of change in policy could turn into hundreds of millions of dollars worth of services, either given or not given. So it sounds like this really matters in the grand scheme of things, especially when healthcare is such a high priority in Ontario.
Yes. So economics does have a huge focus of this, and it's also how economics and how the ministry can look at how services are used, what the economics are of those services, and then of course the main thing is to improve the health of the people who are living in this province.
Yeah, and at the beginning of the interview, Carrie, you said that one of the things you like about your career is helping people, and it's so interesting. I think many listeners would like to help people and make a difference, and often they think about doing that one-on-one, like a doctor or a nurse or a speech-language pathologist or something, but here's a career, a hidden gem, as we've been calling it, where you can actually help a lot of people, not directly now, but by investigating this and making a difference, broadly speaking. Do you feel that you, when you said helping people, is that what you mean, that you can help a lot of people without it being direct help?
That is the focus. So without actually having face-to-face time with a patient, epidemiology, just by definition, examines populations as a patient. And so in doing that, we can help inform policy, and we can help inform pockets of clinicians who can then help their patients. So it's kind of by extension. There's a pathway, and we can look at what is happening right now in the system, and then clinicians can actually use that information to help their patients.
Interesting. We're talking to Carrie Iron here. She's a health services epidemiologist here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CIUT.FM worldwide. And we're talking about hidden gems today, the career of epidemiologist. So, Carrie, of course, in earlier conversations that you and I have had, I know that you didn't always know that you wanted to be an epidemiologist. So take us back and let's see how you got to this really interesting career. What did you do after high school?
After high school, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do, or I had no clue, actually. So I went to the University of Western Ontario, and I did an undergrad in psychology there, not really knowing what I was going to do with that. I had an interest in biology from high school, and I always did okay in math and science. So when I decided to focus on psychology, there was a bit of math involved, there was a bit of social science involved, there was a bit of biology involved, and so that interested me, and that's why I did that. When I graduated, again, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with that, and I sort of stumbled around on a few jobs that really weren't that interesting to me, and then I decided that, you know, I really like kids. I was working in psychology, so I ended up getting a volunteer position, actually, at Sick Kids at the Child Development Clinic there.
And can we just check on that? Because you say you stumbled around, and lots of listeners can relate to that. Lots of people do feel like they're stumbling around. But then there was something there, like some little moment of clarity where you said, hang on a second, I want to direct myself. And you know, the direction was healthcare, and you found this opportunity at Sick Kids. What actually happened in that little moment where you decided, wait a sec, I want to move forward here, and that this is possibly a way to do it?
Well, it was interesting because I always thought that I would just work in business, or, you know, at a company, and I worked at a software company, and I just hated it, and I actually got fired from that job because I didn't really care about what I was doing so much, and then I didn't really know what to do. So I was just one day, I was kind of flipping through the phone book, and I saw that the kids had a child development clinic. I phoned them, and I said, you know, I'm really interested in learning about what you do, and I'm willing to volunteer.
Wow. So there it is. There's like the moment of inspired action, flipping through a phone book. Well, these days it would probably be online. But that you actually had the wherewithal to do that, and then you picked up the phone. Do you actually remember the moment of picking up the phone and how you felt?
I do. I sort of thought I had nothing to lose, and so it was very easy to do. And I just asked, you know, I'm a recent graduate. I'm interested in what you might do there. I have some research skills from my undergrad. Do you have anything there that I could do?
That's great. And so that was a turning point right there. That was actually you at finally being very intentional about your career. Now, what happened there through the Sick Kids experience that led you to uncovering the career possibility of epidemiology?
Well, it really wasn't at the Sick Kids position. I was there for 4 years, and I was working one-on-one with children there, and I did hone in on my research skills there, which was really great, and I had the opportunity to work in the Department of Neurology, which really kind of led me to learn about clinical research and hospital sort of based research, and it wasn't until I applied for a position at the HIV clinic at the Toronto General Hospital that I started learning about epidemiology, and that position was advertised in the newspaper, and I applied, and I got that position.
Right. Now, a second ago, you said 4 years you were at Sick Kids, but you said you started as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. Did that turn into paid work after a certain point?
It did, actually. So when I first started, I had I worked on two projects, which were a volunteer, and one project, which actually was a paid position. And I did those three positions for about a year, and then there was the opportunity to get paid work at Sick Kids.
And then you said you went to the HIV clinic, and that's where the idea of epidemiology came together. How did that idea come, and as you started to look around, what kinds of programs did you find?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the early days, and I guess even now, the idea of a new disease percolating through the population and throughout the world was really interesting, and that really is what epidemiology is. So we were looking at the natural history of HIV in the patients that were at the clinic at Toronto General, and also internationally as well. And I had the opportunity through that position to go to the World HIV and AIDS conferences, and there really the whole idea of epidemiology opened up. I met a lot of people there, many of whom worked at U of T as professors, and there was one in particular who suggested and guided me through the pathway of applying for my master's degree at U of T in community health and epidemiology.
So it really is a story of following your interest and continuing to be intentional, even when you don't know where it goes. Because your work at SickKids and at Toronto General wasn't actually in the direction of epidemiology. That came later when somebody helped you identify that.
Mm-hmm. I started learning about epidemiology once I started at Toronto General. And the idea of it just fascinated me. It was about people and about numbers and about how numbers really can help people.
We're talking to Carrie Iron here. She's an epidemiologist at the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on 89.5 FM in Toronto or CIUT.FM worldwide. So, Carrie, the master's degree that you took, it was a master's of community health and epidemiology. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
And if listeners are interested, where is that kind of program offered?
It's offered at U of T, although I think now it's called something else. It's at the Dalai Lama School of Public Health, I believe it's called at U of T. There are also programs at Western and at Queen's, at Ottawa. Really, there are programs all over the province and elsewhere.
And what happened for you after you graduated? What happened next?
After I graduated, I did some freelance work, and then I spoke to one of my mentors while I was doing my master's, and heard that there was a position here at ISIS, which is the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences, and I applied for that position, and I got that position, and I've been here for 20 years.
Wow. Now, I looked on the website of ISIS this morning to see if there are any job postings, because I thought listeners might be interested. Now, I found one job posting. It was actually for the President and Chief Executive Officer. Now, if listeners aren't up for that particular job, what other kinds of jobs are there at ISIS?
There are many. We have here about 70 analysts. So these are people who have some background in math, statistics, biostatistics, computer programming. There are epidemiologists here as well. Many program or project managers, scientists. So there are students here who are doing their PhDs and masters, and medical students who are doing their research rotations.
Now, there are one thing you said, one thing you didn't say that I know is part of the field. Biostatistics or biostatistician and informatics,
uh-huh.
Both words and kind of career areas that are coming up more and more, and it sounds like they're connected to what you do. Can you just fill us in on those two?
Biostatisticians are people who have usually a master's degree, and it's statistics, but focused on health, typically. So they would understand how the health system works, the various questions that could be posed through health research. Informatics is kind of a new field, and it's around the collection of data, data management standards as it applies to data management and data quality.
So if listeners are interested, you know what these people are like. You work with them day in and day out. What are the kinds of, I don't know, interest patterns, or what are kinds of people that seem to get into these fields? Epidemiology, biostatistician, informatics.
Mm-hmm. I would say that the interests are different for those particular fields. Biostatisticians are typically very mathematical. They have a very sort of strategically mathematical mindset, and they're focused on the numbers. The epidemiologists use the numbers to create stories and have kind of a broader focus on the health system and health of populations and people. There's more of a social science focus to the epidemiology. The informatics people, it's kind of a new discipline, and these are people who understand the management of data and data records and how to create systems so that data can be easily analyzable.
All right. It sounds interesting. Out of all of them, epidemiology just sounds so fascinating. And as I've been talking to you about it and being impressed with the job market also, and you know, listeners are always interested in careers that have good opportunities. And that's why I think it is a hidden gem. How is the job market for people with an epidemiology background?
I would say it's very good. I don't know any unemployed epidemiologists.
Well, that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah, there are so many things and so many areas to focus on that I think that there are always opportunities. Most of the opportunities are public sector. There are some private sector opportunities in drug companies, for example. So clinical epidemiologists might work at a drug company to examine the efficacy of new drugs that are just coming on the market. So really there's a wide variety of work that can be done, and also worldwide. So epidemiologists may have the opportunity to work internationally as well.
Wow, so a real bonus. Like, it is a truly hidden gem. Do you feel like you lucked into it because it is such a great career?
I do. I do feel like I lucked into it because as you said, I didn't really know about it when I started on my career journey.
Well, I don't mean to say it was luck, because, you know, I never let people get away with saying it was just a lucky break, but a really great choice, you know, and it sounds like it was, to a large part, intentional once you started to be in the field. And I think that's the story to tell, is that once you're in a field and doing things in it, you can find more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've also done a lot of volunteer work alongside your career in epidemiology. You and I worked alongside at Toronto Cyclists Union, now Cycle Toronto, and you're doing more work at Humewood House. How has your volunteer work enhanced your career and life?
I would say that it's really enhanced my leadership skills. I was the inaugural president of the Toronto, it's now called Cycle Toronto, correct, Mark?
Yes, Cycle Toronto, advocacy for better cycling conditions in the city of Toronto.
Thank you. Then it was the Toronto Cyclists Union. And I did kind of fall into that as well in terms of the leadership position, and it really gave me an understanding of what governance means and the issues that need to be examined and worked upon when there's a new organization being developed, and also how boards work and how nonprofit organizations work. So I really learned a lot, and I continue to learn as I work volunteer work at Humewood House.
And we are going to talk later in today's show about how to advance your career in 2013. Volunteering is clearly one of those things. What employability skills would you say that you've gathered and built through your volunteer work?
It has really helped me move my paid work forward, I think. I have a greater sense of confidence in terms of leading projects and becoming a leader in the organization that I work in. And I think it's given me more understanding of how to move a group of people forward towards a common goal.
A really important soft skill.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So finally, Carrie, just to wrap up this this segment of the interview, and it's been an interesting journey and a good focus on a hidden gem of a career, what can you share with listeners about what you've personally learned about making good career and life choices?
Mm-hmm. I would say to your listeners that it's really important to be curious and not be afraid to act upon curiosity. There's never harm in picking up the phone and calling somebody. In fact, I think that there are only opportunities when that happens. And I certainly have had experience in the positive opportunities that comes from that. I would also say that just being open to new possibilities is really important. Keeping your eyes open, and as somebody who isn't always intentional on my long-term plans, I think that what I've learned is that keeping eyes open, acting on clues, and then moving forward is really important.
Right on. Now, how are you at conveying that message to your sons? You're a mother of two teenage boys, and you know, being curious and acting on your curiosity and being open. How does that translate into persuading teenage kids, if listeners have kids?
Well, I tell them every day, you know, just be curious, be open, don't be afraid. Because we know that sometimes teenagers are a little hesitant to put themselves out there.
Yes.
And just to allow them to, you know, to think about their strengths and what they like to do, and, you know, guide them, push them a little bit towards places that may not be comfortable. But hear what they say, because I think that's also really important, too.
Right on. If people want to find out more about ISIS, the place that you work at, how do they do that?
They can look at our website, which is www.icees.on.ca.
Great. Carrie, thanks for sharing your career story here on Career Buzz.
Thank you, Mark.
Now, you brought a piece of music. So can you set it up for us? What piece of music and why?
Sure. This song is called Chelsea Morning, and it's by Joni Mitchell. And I chose this song today because it's really bright and sunny for this January 3rd morning. Second.
There we
second
go.
Second morning.
Here is Joni Mitchell.
All right.
Woke up, it was a Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I heard was a song outside my window, and the traffic wrote the words. It came a-ringing up like Christmas bells, and wrapping up like pipes and drums. Oh, won't you stay? We'll put on the day, and we'll wear it till the night comes. Woke up, it was a Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I saw was the sun through yellow curtains, and a rainbow on my wall. The red, green, and gold to welcome you, crimson crystal beads to beckon. Oh, won't you stay? We'll put on a day. There's a sun show every second. Now the curtain opens on a portrait of today. Streets are paved with passers-by, and pigeons fly, and papers lie, waiting to blow away. woke up, it was a Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I knew, there was milk and toast and honey, and a bowl of oranges too, and the sun poured in like butterscotch, and stuck to all my senses. Oh, won't you stay, we'll put on the day, and we'll talk in present tenses.
This hour of Career Buzz is brought to you by...
I'm a dental hygienist and a proud professional. I chose dental hygiene because I like health sciences and working closely with people. I received a quality education from a variety of dental professionals in a beautiful facility. I'm happy I chose Regency Dental Hygiene Academy. Visit regencydha.ca for more information.
From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM. Presenting the history and evolution of sound for 25 years and counting. CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
And we're back at Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at CareerCycles.com. Before continuing on with today's show, I want to let listeners know about the amazing archive of Career Buzz inspiring career stories. You can click the Career Buzz button at CareerCycles.com and listen to hundreds of stories with inspirational guests telling you about the twists and turns in their careers. On December 12th, we had award-winning author Terry Follis telling us about his interesting career through politics, public relations, and becoming a novelist, and also Maureen Anderson, author of The Career Clinic, which is a book and a radio show. So fascinating show. Encourage you to have a listen. It's the Career Buzz button at careercycles.com. Student Awesome studied computer science and political science at the University of Toronto. Born in Toronto, he is Pakistani-Canadian. His work emphasizes ideas, practical societal and human potential ideas, to help people live as global citizens. Khadija Goes to School is his first book, and The Champions for Life is his first international idea. Student Awesome joins me live in the studio. Welcome to Career Buzz.
Thank you very much for having me here. Appreciate it.
So, Student Awesome, what do you like about how things are going in your career and life these days?
Well, it's been an interesting ride ever since the book has come out. And, you know, I do have a background in computer science, and that's what I was focusing on for the last many years. But with the book, you know, it's been very a very different journey, and one that I've actually put myself into for many reasons. One of them was to learn. I wanted to just put myself out there and experience people, ideas, being able to present things that, you know, essentially giving myself an opportunity to try to be self-sufficient and share ideas with people.
Right on. Now, you're an author, you have this book, you're an entrepreneur, and you're a student, among other roles. So what are all the things you're doing these days? What does a typical a week in the life of Student Awesome look like?
Well, these days, what's happening is I'm working on different ideas, but essentially around the same focus points. Essentially, what I'm trying to do is work on ideas that are academic, but bring them forward to the public in a very interesting and artistic way. Because, you know, the truth is, when you take something that's very strongly academic, I don't think people are very interested in such ideas in a more public and social way. But when you meld entertainment or artistic vibes and shades with something that is, you know, serious, now you have a story, and now, you know, people can pay attention. And so that's what it's about. It's really about the concept of making an idea present.
Now, one example of this, taking an idea and making it present, is this book, Khadija Goes to School. I've got a copy of it in my hands. And it's so interesting. It's a children's book, but it's a children's book for adults in a way. So what inspired you to put this book together?
Well, that's exactly what it is. It is, you know, some libraries have actually classified it as an adult's book. Some libraries have classified it as a children's book. But really, it's a thought tool. That's the way I classify this. And this is a primer of my ideas and thoughts. And essentially what this is creating, you know, curiosity, as your last guest said, and asking the question why. And really, it's a journey back into yourself. And it's a way to discuss ideas of enabling yourself and what that means, and also enabling society.
The story is actually of a girl called Khadija, and it's all about whether or not she's going to go to school, and a whole conversation between her and the parents about whether she ought to go to school. And so, so it kind of positions you in the kid's perspective. It puts you in the kid's shoes, right? And I think this is the idea of why this is an adult book, even though the illustrations and the colors make it look very much like a children's book.
Right. I mean, it's very inviting, and that's the point. It's a set of ideas that are actually quite serious. They deal with human potential, you know, as a concept. It's a very important idea in and of itself that I did not see directly addressed when I was growing up, and I still believe it's not directly addressed. And this is really about exploring the self and ideas of the self. So it is about psychology, but ultimately the underlying story challenges fear. That's what this is about. But again, if it's dry, people won't be interested.
Yes.
It needs to be, you know, open and inviting.
There's a kind of cross-cultural element to this. And in fact, what's so interesting is that the script, even Khadija's name here, it's actually in English, but it's written to look like Arabic script.
Right.
And you've got words in here in many different languages. So what's the idea here with the cross-cultural element of it?
Well, there's many dimensions to the book. And one of the dimensions, apart from it being about education and human potential and society, it also creates conversation about, you know, the Arabic culture or the Islamic culture or Semitic cultures. Because the fact is, people don't know. They just don't know, especially the Islamic culture. You know, there's a lot of misinformation. You know, a lot of media is very, you know, there's less, I believe, good stories or positive stories about the Middle East, you know, in general.
Yes.
So it does affect society and the way people look at you.
Yes. So but, how is the book being received now that it's out there, especially with this element of you know, kind of cross-cultural acculturation? How people been receiving it?
It's amazing. You know, it's just how I envisioned it. You know, it's definitely the whole piece is about conversation and dialogue. And people, like, you know, from the Middle Eastern Semitic point of view, have asked many questions. You know, is Khadija, how do you say Khadija? Even, you know, it's with a kha, like
Khadija.
Jewish people and Muslim people or Arabic people can say it, the kha. But I know it's in German as well, and some other languages, the kha is there. But even that became a conversation. they ask, is that, you know, is that Hebrew? Is that, you know, the play on the script?
So the questions start to emerge just from
Absolutely.
That. We should tell listeners, Khadija is spelled, and listeners can go and look at the website. It's K-H. So it's K-H-A-D-I-J-A, Khadija. And if you want to look at the website, it's khadijagoestoschool, all one word, .com. And it's such an interesting site as well. There's some videos there and a lot of material that supports what you're talking about with this. Mm-hmm. So you know, you look at the author's name on this book, and it says, by Student Awesome. Mm. So tell us about the name.
Well, you know, I believe that being a student is actually like a very strong identity question. And, you know, in the story, towards the end, you know, the teacher actually says, I love to be a student. and you'll always be a student no matter where you are. School is just one place where you'll actually literally be in school, but you're actually in school all the time. And I've asked a lot of people this question, did you ever think your teacher was a student? And they all said no.
That's so interesting. You know? It's such a completely different perspective.
Definitely. So it creates that conversation again about what it means to be a lifelong learner. But the thing is, it's one thing to say something and it's one thing to see something. Just like the way the book opens, it opens from the right, not the left. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, Arabic or Hebrew or Semitic languages start from the right. But then to see it, it really strikes you.
It does.
And that's what this book is about. It really is what this is ultimately is the idea of making ideas unforgettable, making the educational experience or the experience of Khadija goes to school unforgettable. And that's the main idea here.
We're talking to Student Awesome here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CIUT.FM worldwide. And we're talking about this book, Khadija Goes to School, and check the website out, khadijagoestoschool.com. So Student Awesome, you're an entrepreneur. This is your book, your first book. You're doing a lot of things. Listeners are always curious about how things go for people. You know, you haven't followed a traditional route of finding a job that maybe your degree in computer science might have helped you get. So you're out on your own. How are things going for you financially?
That's a very good question. Well, actually, I did follow the whole degree path. I mean, I've been working for quite some time in the field of IT. So I have kind of pseudo-switched over. You know, I'm a consultant, so it's allowed me to work as an author or do creative work at the same time. Lately, I've been focusing on this. How is it going financially? Well, it could be like an M&M story here, I hope. It's you know, you really only know who you are and you are only tested when you're in that moment.
Yes.
You know, and for me, you know, there's something here. The path is clear for me. I know where I'm going there's no doubts.
So when you say the path is clear, it sounds like you're passionate about getting these ideas out. But to create a life, like you just told listeners now, you're working as an IT consultant.
Yes.
What are you actually doing and how did that come about?
Well, I mean, you know, I do have a degree in computer science, so, you know, from the University of Toronto. So, you know, I've been working in the field for quite some time. One of the most memorable experiences was when I first graduated, I moved to New York. And I was working there, you know. So being a consultant, I've worked in many different companies, and it's like an adventure for me. So I mean, you know, that's why I've eventually shifted to becoming a consultant because I like the whole adventure of meeting people, being in different places, problem solving, and this is what this book is about as well. It's just another adventure for me. It's just another thing for me to do, and you know, it's been amazing the reviews that came out. And one of the important points about the book is it is about human potential. And what is that? So I put myself in the center of an experiment because I am not a writer, as I say in the book. In the author's note, I don't care to be a writer, you see. It's very different. It's very different than anything else because I'm not interested in writing. It's more a medium for me to present ideas. And so the book is self-published. But then to go on and to receive the reviews that it has, it's striking. You know, it's just been an amazing journey. Now Magazine in Toronto was the first group to actually review the book, and they said the book was groundbreaking. And this is the issue with Jack Layton on the cover. So they took a big chance by putting a review out for Khadija Goes to School, a book that's unknown. But it's just incredible, the reviews. And what it's really told me is that, you know, we can go bigger. That's what it's said to me, that there is an opportunity here to go bigger. So financially speaking, I believe that it is something that can allow me to, stay focused in the creativity area and you know, hopefully it'll take off soon.
and it sounds like this arrangement that you've got with yourself, with your career and life, is that you're passionate about these ideas. So this is really what you're wanting to work on, and the work that you're doing in IT is there to support you while you get your ideas out there.
Definitely, IT writing, you know, the champion for life as a visual, these are all just mediums. So ultimately, it's really about ideas. I'm interested in ideas. Ideas are extremely powerful. And, you know, the theme of Khadija Goes to School is about helping yourself and helping other people. So I'm more interested in frames, the way you frame ideas, because ideas live in frames or lens. Like a lens is also framed. Like if you look at a pair of glasses, there's actually a frame on those glasses, as on those lenses. So, like, you know, Khadija Goes to School, when you frame education in the context of helping yourself and helping other people, everything else just builds, you know, within that.
And it seems that the focus of getting the ideas out has a lot to do with education and kids. It looks that way with The Secret of Life. You've got here The Champions for Life and The Khadija Goes to School. Is that the focus? Is it children, or are you trying to go wider than that?
Right. No, actually, the ideas of human potential, about, you know, exploring the self, are ideas for all people. And in fact, the subtitle of the book, Khadija Goes to School, is a story about you. So this theme of helping yourself and helping other people is everyone's story. And this is critical as a point. So The Champion for Life is also another dialogue piece. It has over 250 languages that I've researched. That is going to be an amazing 3-foot poster by 2 feet. But again, it creates that conversation. There's many languages in here from many backgrounds. In fact, what I've discovered is that the languages that you see here, for example, there's other languages that have represented them in the past. Like Turkish is now using a Latin alphabet, but in the past it used an Arabic alphabet, or even Filipino and Polish used Arabic to represent their languages. It's just fascinating. It's mind-blowing.
The poster actually says the word read in about 100 and something languages.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what it does. It's a fascinating thing. Now, I know you've got other projects on the horizon here. There's What is Ramadan, A Toy for You, A Toy for Your Neighbor, Muslim in the Midst. What's on your horizon? What else is going on?
Well, these are just other ideas, again, that create conversations and again, you know, ways to share my experiences as, you know, as a citizen of Canada, and also as a Muslim, just getting some ideas out about you know, what I think about. So A Toy for You, Toy for Your Neighbor was another amazing initiative that was well received. It was basically a concept. It's basically an idea where you reward your constituents. So it could be anything. It could be a gift for you, a gift for your neighbor. But this was A Toy for You, Toy for Your Neighbor. Now, I used Eid, which is an Islamic function, to demonstrate how it works. But this is a concept that you can actually use in the church, in a synagogue, in a gurdwara, in a mandir, anywhere. The idea is that you come, and it's very different. You give the people two toys, not one. So it's very different than any other toy drive or campaign. So the idea is you keep one for yourself, you reward your constituents, and then you give one more to them, so they can go out and give one to their neighbor. So the idea, the slogan was, goodwill is easy.
So nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
from all of the twists and turns in your story, student Asim, what can you share with listeners about what you've learned about making career and life choices?
Well, understand, you know, what you want to do, and be yourself. Be yourself. It's so important to listen to yourself and just do it. Honestly, one way out, the best advice I could ever give anyone is do something for yourself.
Yeah.
Like practically, like even if it's like selling lemonade outside on a hot summer day, I swear to you, you will learn things that you cannot learn from a textbook. But with that being said, what you have learned from a textbook comes into play, you know, when you're actually on the ground. But there's much more that, there's a lot of dynamics, essentially what I'm saying, on the ground. And you need to be on the ground to actually know who you are. you really need to be on the ground.
Right on. And so if listeners want to buy the book, Student Awesome, or find out more, how do they do that?
Well, definitely check out the website, Khadija Goes to School.
And that's with a K-H at the beginning, Khadija K-H. Goes to School.
Yeah, definitely. Google is pretty good. You'll be able to get it phonetically if you put that in. You know, it's on Amazon.com. My message is really to bring this to schools, and we're working on that right now.
Excellent. Student Awesome, thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thank you, and appreciate it.
So we've been talking to Student Awesome here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM and CIUT.FM worldwide. We've got a few more minutes to engage in today's Career Buzz conversation. And the weekly topic is how to advance your career in 2013. We're building on an article that appeared on Monday, December 31st in the Globe and Mail. It was by Harvey Schachter, and listeners can find it by going to careercycles.com. We've linked it on the right side of the screen. You'll see a button that says Press and Media, Press and Media. So click the Press and Media at careercycles.com. And you can follow along with us as we talk about the things that you can do to advance your career. Call in or email with comments or questions as we spend a few minutes here with co-host Melissa Rodway. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us here again on Career Buzz Conversations. I'll just give the phone number if listeners do want to give a call, 416-946-7000. And let us know what you think. So, Melissa, we've looked at this article here by Harvey Schachter, and there's a bunch of different ways to advance your career in 2013. Which one of the ideas did you find most compelling?
I always find it interesting, the know yourself situation, because I feel like that is actually the key to finding career happiness, finding personal happiness, etc. So I had a question about what I had read in that section about helping young people. Like, how do you help young people figure out where they find their self-awareness so that it can actually get them into the right path moving forward?
Yeah, right on. So this was a suggestion by career professional Elaine Sigurdsson of Insight to Action. She was quoted by Harvey Schachter in the article. And, you know, she had some good things to say about knowing yourself. I mean, it sounds a bit like, you know, motherhood, but it's so incredibly difficult and people get it wrong a lot. And I think that the most important way to know yourself and to get at your own desires and your own strengths is through your stories. Mm-hmm. So, you know, stories, especially where you feel good, stories where you feel proud of something you've done, and maybe it doesn't have anything to do with work. You know, here at the CIUT station, I know we have a lot of volunteers, and I'm always interested to see how excited young people are, often they're in high school, about volunteering at a radio station. And, you know, think about all the skills they're getting and the network that they're building. You know, so if somebody were to ask that individual, hey, how did you like your 2 month or 3 month internship or volunteer stint at CIUT, they'd probably say, it was great. And if you then draw them out, what did you like about it? Oh, I liked meeting all those people, or I liked working on the board. What skills did you develop? Well, I learned some technical skills. I learned some communication skills. And those are just really great ways to get at the know yourself. I think that's the best way, in fact, in terms of telling your story and knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's one thought I had. What did you think about the note about writing an anti-resume?
Well, I think that's actually very interesting. I did a sort of an exercise like that with you not too long ago. And for me, it was very helpful, actually, in putting together where I did want to go and my goals and interests. But I'm curious, actually, moving forward, if we're getting to a place where we can start sending these sorts of ideas to employers along with a resume, or maybe instead of a resume, because in some ways it shows such a better picture of what you're looking for and who you are than a typical resume.
It's so true. Resumes are just, I kind of think that they're a necessary evil. You know, people use them, but the problem is that they look backwards, you know, and this has always been my complaint about them. And if you're an employer trying to evaluate who this person is and what they what they might want to do or how they could contribute. Looking backwards gives you a few clues for sure. But what about the present and the future? Where is the present and the future in the resume? You know, so I've been thinking that there ought to be something. We call it a career statement at Career Cycles, and we've had thousands of people write them. And it's kind of an anti-resume because it's not formatted at all like that. And it has the skills that you feel you're really good at and want to use and the desires for your future, and it lists the possibilities that you want to explore or engage in. So I've actually seen clients use their career statement to communicate to prospective employers, and I've even seen employers post their jobs in the form of a career statement. So I think it's another interesting thing. What about this notion of being your own CEO?
Well, yes, that's interesting. I think what stood out for me the most was that there's different ways to be a leader or to show leadership, because I don't think everybody wants to be a CEO or a manager or a leader. But even using the example, even if you're the janitor, there's something inspiring you can do. Or I think there's a way of showing accountability or innovation that can make you stand out from other people.
Yeah, and I think it's the idea that you're in charge, right? Like your organization isn't in charge of your career. You are. Mm-hmm. And that's the gist of it. So not everybody will be a CEO of an organization, but if you think like a CEO, then you've got that perspective. Mm-hmm. Great. So thanks for engaging in this short conversation about how to advance your career in 2013. We're looking for interesting topics for future Career Buzz conversations. So do let me know about that and what you'd like to hear from. And again, if you want to learn more about that article, you can click the press and media button at careercycles.com. It's on the right side. So we're going to wrap up today's show. You've been listening to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. You can find out more about me and Career Cycles at careercycles.com. Other hosts of Career Buzz are Angela Fitzpatrick, Leanne Sachs, and Mark Swartz. If you have comments on today's show, please let me know. It's mark@careercycles.com. Thanks to my guests, Carrie Iron and Student Awesome. Technical production today was by Melissa Rodway. An MP3 of today's show is available from the Career Buzz link at careercycles.com. Catch Career Buzz